Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Razor Sharp Sports Network, episode 1. Got a lot to get to today. A lot going on in the sports world. A lot of hating, a lot of crazy takes, a lot of former Bears quarterbacks taking over that QB1 spot in Pittsburgh. Chicago Bears football is back. A lot to get to today, man. But let's just hop right into it and get to the elephant in the room. WNBA legend, basketball great, queen of the court, one of the best to ever do it, Sherrell Swoopes has a podcast, Queens of the Court podcast, and this week she had some interesting takes, I would say. You know, it's been a history there with her and Caitlin over the past 6 to 7 months since, honestly, Iowa's her senior year at Iowa. You know, she was misinformed about how many shots Caitlin takes. She was misinformed about how many years it took Caitlin to beat the all-time women's record in scoring. Just a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion on that end from her. And this week on her podcast, she had another baffling take, I would say, where she thought that Katie Lou Samuelson was the reason for the Fever's success this upcoming season. Fever have, I think, 12 wins so far. Halfway through the season, they're on their USA basketball break. Fever are back in the office, back in the lab, though, getting ready for the second half, trying to get that playoff push. You know, she had a crazy take where she said that Katie Lou Samuelson was the main reason for the Fever's success. She thought that the Chicago Sky had an overall better team, and but the Fever have better players. A little confused on that, but you know, let's just talk about the facts. How about we start off with that? Let's start off with the facts for the Indiana Fever. 113 total games last year. They're already at 12 halfway through the season. And she had this take that, it's the players around her that is, the reason for her success and the team's success. If you're a Fever fan, a Caitlin Clark fan, and you watch the Indiana Fever, you know players, like Nelissa Smith, Kelsey Mitchell, Katie Lou Samuelson, who's apparently the best player on the Fever, Leah Boston, Erica Wheeler, Lexi Hull. These are what quote unquote people would say is the core of that team. My issue with this is, do you know that every single player that I named was on the team last year? Every single one of them. That team won 13 games. They're already at 12, but you know, hey, Caitlin's not the reason. Let me give you some facts. Let's stop talking about the opinions of others, right? The past 2 years, the Indiana Fever has had the number one pick in the WNBA draft. That means the past 2 years, your team has been the worst team in the league. Hey, let's take it a step further. Let's say you think Nelissa Smith is the third or fourth best player, or third or fourth option. Guess who was the number two pick 2 years prior to that? Yep, you guessed it. The Indiana Fever. Nelissa Smith. So in 2022, Nelissa Smith was the number two pick in the WNBA draft. Leah Boston was the number one pick in the 2023 WNBA draft. And then this year, Caitlin Clark was the 2024 number one pick in the WNBA draft. is this starting to make sense? Am I tweaking over here? You're getting a lot of people that are getting mad and upset with the response that people have for Cheryl Swoops. And what is everybody's favorite thing to do? Oh, she's one of the best. She's one of the greatest. She can have an opinion. She can say what she want. Yes, she can. She's a grown ass woman. She's one of the greatest to ever do it. She's, on Twitter, he posted Cheryl Swoops, and then it lists her accolades: 4-time WNBA champion, 1-time NCAA champion, 3-time WNBA MVP, 3-time WNBA Defensive Player of the Year, 6-time All-Star, led the W in scoring twice, led the W in steals twice. He follows that up by saying, "The hell are we doing here with the disrespect?" Sir, it's not called disrespect. It's called living in reality. If you watch the Indiana Fever play, there is no way in hell on God's green earth do you think Katie Lou Samuelson, hell, Nalissa Smith, anybody but Caitlin Clark. If the answer isn't Caitlin Clark, you are out your damn mind. They have 12 wins already. She leads them in every statistical category except for rebounding. And guess who's number 2 on the team? I'll let you take a wild guess. You know what? Let's do this for the people that don't understand where I'm going, where I'm getting to. There's a guy that goes by the name of Michael Jordan. Some of you may or may not have ever heard of him. If you don't, he's a 6-time NBA champion, 6-time Finals MVP, a 5-time NBA MVP, 10-time leading scorer, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, NBA Rookie of the Year, 14-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, a 2-time slam dunk champion, 3-time steals leader. Hell, in college, I'm pretty sure he won the national championship with North Carolina. I'm pretty sure he was the ACC Rookie of the Year, John Wooden Award winner. And do you know what MJ did after he retired? He went along and he bought the Charlotte Hornets. And for 17 years, Michael Jordan was the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets. And you want to know what he did? In 17 years, he put a team together that went 567 and 784. I'll say that again. 567 wins and 784 losses. The fifth worst record through a 17-year period, that particular 17-year period. 3 playoff appearances, and 3 total playoff wins in 17 years. I don't give a damn about what you did as an NBA, WNBA player. You are given absolutely the right to give you have the absolute right to voice your opinion, but that don't mean you don't know what you're talking about when you're evaluating talent. It just shows you that just because you were a great player doesn't mean you're a great analysis, a great analyst of the game. You don't know what should be put on the court and what it should look like when somebody's on the court. I do not care. And if you don't think that Caitlin Clark, not only forget not being the best player on their team, she's a top 5 player in the WNBA. And I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. She does it all. Been watching her since her sophomore year at the University of Iowa. Go Hawks. On Iowa, go Hawks. Out your damn mind if you think she's not one of the best. She does it all. She sees it all. She sees it before it's happening. And guess what? Her shots aren't even going down yet. her shots are falling. She's shooting like sub 30% from three, like about 38, 37% from the field, and her shots aren't falling, and she's still affecting the game in the way she is. Let me explain something to you guys. They have a 4 to 5 week break, if I'm not mistaken. And right now, they've been getting back in the gym slowly but surely, trying to get ready for the second half of this season. Here's my three bold predictions. Not my three bold predictions, but here's my prediction. And these three things, if they happen, will come to fruition. Book it. Stamp it. I don't care what you do. Let Caitlin Clark build 4 to 6 pounds of muscle over this break. Let her build 4 to 6 pounds of muscle over this Olympic break. Let her work on the left hand a little bit more. And if she develops a floater, you can book it now that they are going to the conference finals in the WNBA. And I did not stutter. I did not. Let her gain 4 to 6 pounds of muscle. Let her get stronger with her left hand. Shout out Jaylen Brown. And let her develop a floater. And you all see what happens at the end of this WNBA season. And don't say I didn't tell you. The only thing that needs to happen, Christy Sides has to give Caitlin the keys. Give her the keys and say go. That's Christy Sides and Kelsey Mitchell. I love Kelsey Mitchell. Scorer, baller. Sometimes I just feels like she gets in the way sometimes. You know, sometimes I feel like Caitlin deals with that. She's still a rookie, so we're not going to give her the keys quite yet. But it's time to hand them bitches over. It is time to hand those keys over and let her get in the driver's side. It's time for her to drive. Let her drive. Let her drive the boat. Aaliyah Boston Aaliyah Boston is her. And when when Caitlin pulls that demon out of Aaliyah, they gonna win it next year. I don't think they can win it this year, but Caitlin's gonna pull that demon out of Aaliyah, and it's gonna be over with for the league. Aaliyah's like the women's version of Tim Duncan. We gonna call her Miss Fundamentals, cause she just got it. That pick and roll game, that slip in the screen with the top of the key jump shot, the right hook, the back down, turn it back to the left shoulder. She has it all, and Aaliyah has never played with a great player of Caitlin. It took her a while to figure it out, but she figured it out. The Indiana Fever will make it to the conference finals, guaranteed. Stamp it. Cheryl Swoops, you are crazy. We love you, but you have lost your... You've... Get it together. You too smart. You're too knowledgeable about the game. You've played at an exceptional level to... I don't want to call you a hater or jealous, but I mean, what else do I call it? How do you watch Caitlin Clark and say what you said? I really do not get it. Then you said Katie Lou Samuelson is a two-way player. You said she's the one that handles the defensive responsibility. If you're an Indiana Fever fan, if you've watched the Indiana Fever, you know that's a goddamn lie. Lexi Hall is the Tony Allen of that team, the defensive stopper. If you're actually a true fan, you know that Katie Lou is actually a liability on the defensive end. And a shot sometimes ain't always going through, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, if you watch the damn Indiana Fever play, you know goddamn well that they are not in the position they are in because of Katie Lou Samuelson. It's because of number 22, that girl from West Des Moines, Iowa. Caitlin Clark. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I am from the city of Chicago, and I am so happy, so ecstatic to see what my boy Justin, JF1, Mr. Fields is over there doing down in Pittsburgh. Mr. Black and Yellow, Mr. Get That Shit from Amazon Prime. He is killing it right now. That Justin Fields to Van Jefferson connection has been going crazy all throughout camp. Justin Fields to George Pickens, it's money. It's guaranteed. Throw it up and he'll go get it. He has been, if you're unaware, training camp started for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think last week, and Russell Wilson had a calf injury. He has been brought on slowly. So Fields has been getting a lot of first team reps, taking over the reins of that team. And if you've been paying attention, you've seen the progression, how much quicker he's getting the ball out, how much better he's processing the field, how he's not thinking out there, man. He is really developing into a true quarterback. And the crazy part is in training camp, because it's not a lot of hitting, you protect your quarterback, not really trying to show it. The running aspect is still going to be there. I really think you all forget how dynamic of a player Justin is. And I'm a Bears fan. I love the Bears. I love what Ryan Poles has done. I'm very excited for Caleb Williams. I wanted to keep Justin. I am one of the Bears fans that wanted to keep Justin, but I understand it and I get it. Caleb wears that orange and navy now, and we rocking with Caleb. But Bears fans, y'all got to stop trying to do this thing where we're shitting on Justin and, oh, his slow release and he's man, who cares? If you had Dante Pettis on your left, Velus Jones in the slot, and Equanimeous St. Brown on your right, you'll be processing a lot of shit slowly too. And then the following year, the previous year, they give you Byron Pringle and N'Keal Harry, Cole Kmet and Tyler Scott and Darnell Mooney. Don't get me started about Chase Claypool. What do you think a quarterback is supposed to do with that? What is a guy supposed to do with that? You tell me. So far in training camp, these numbers are probably updated from when I'm recording this, but so far the reports are that he has 20 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions so far in training camp. And I'm loving it. His teammates are fighting for him. Let me tell you something, if you don't know. You don't start a training camp brawl for a QB2. Just in case anybody was confused. I'll say that again. You don't start a brawl for a QB2. Justin is making the most of his reps. I know people said Russ was in pole position. I love Russ. This isn't a shit on Russ rant. This is a, hey man, when it's there, don't waste your opportunity. He's looking good. His teammates are gravitating towards him, are accepting him as the leading guy, the QB1. Mike Tomlin doesn't have to make this decision difficult. Justin is going to show you guys why he's one of the best talents in the league this year. You can book it, stamp it. You can do whatever you want with it. Which brings me to my last topic. I am a Chicagoan, born and raised. My certificate says Chicago, Illinois. And since I can remember, I've been a Bears fan. It was hard to see Justin go. But now we got number 18 back there, and I'm rocking with him. And it sucks when you hop on Twitter and you see the Carden Show. One, because you look at a show like that and you say, who gives idiots like this TV time, a platform to speak? But then, you know, you see a professional, a guy who's done it at a high level, and you see Imani Toomer get on there. And it's not that surprising, because if you're a follower of football, if you're a follower of Twitter football, you know the Carden Show always goes viral by saying some crazy stuff. I don't ever see that platform unless they saying some off-count stuff. Just, you know, trying to go viral. Imani Toomer said, rookies should earn their respect. He mentions his nail polish. Let me tell you something, brother. We are in the city of Chicago. I live in Lincoln Park. I see brothers on the red line every day with nail polish. Hey, I bet you won't get a walk up to them and try them. Hey, I bet you won't say, hey, that ain't manly, brother. Bet you won't. Why don't you go try it? Go on the red line tomorrow and say, hey, man, you're a man. You shouldn't be wearing nail polish. And you tell me when he hits you, if it feels like a woman hits you or if a man hits you. You let me know. Chicago is a city of diversity, inclusion. It has it all, man. The greatest city in the world, by the way. And to be honest with you, we do not care what Caleb wears. If he gets his toenails painted, polished, I don't give a damn. As long as he's about family, God, and football, hell, that's a recipe for success, if you ask me. That brother don't do nothing but smile, keep a low profile, and bite his bottom lip and go, you know what he does. Y'all stop acting like I'm crazy. Y'all know what he do. They ask him a question, he do that light skin face, and he bite his bottom lip. Stop acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Justin is gone, and as much as I miss him, Caleb is my QB1. And Caleb, the city of Chicago is behind you, brother. And don't let clowns like Imani Toomer or that guy from the Carden Show tell you otherwise. This has been the first episode, man, of Razor Sharp Sports Network. We got a lot more content coming. This is fun, man. I love sports. I love talking the shit. We're going to get a lot more organized, a lot more clean in these presentations and these facts. Just trying to get this page going, get it started. If you know me, I'm not a guy that's going to argue with you with opinions. A lot of things in life are black and white. A lot of things are in our face, and we just want to act like we don't see it. Hey, what color is the sky? It's blue, but I'm going to call it pink. No, brother, we're going to call it blue. Hey, man, I'm looking forward to this journey this year. Go Bears. Go Hawks. Go Bulls. Go Sox. And always, fuck the Cubs. I'll catch you all next week. Y'all have a great one.